Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, you know that I'm working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep. And I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes
Oh, The Bachelor?
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Before we begin today's show, I just wanted to take a quick second to shout out, there is going to be another pit viewing party of the upcoming season of Golden Bachelor and VIP Season 9 at Wolfie's in Highland Park. I know last season it was at a different bar on the east side in Los Angeles, but now it is going to be at Wolfie's in Highland Park. A pit member reached out to us and said they're putting this event on again. So if you enjoyed going to the last one, or if you didn't get a chance to, you can check it out now this Thursday night, Wolfie's Highland Park. There's going to be a bunch of pit people there watching our beloved game.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues. Today is Tuesday, and because we did Twibbon last Friday, we have a very special episode today. We have an incredible guest with us to discuss all things Bachelor. This is a huge week. We've got Golden Bachelor coming out, VIP Season 9, and there is no one better to have on our podcast right now to discuss all of these things happening in the nation than the season 16 ring winner, the best-selling author of I Didn't Come Here to Make Friends, the host of the After Reality podcast, mother, wife, a multi-hyphenate, Courtney Robertson. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello. I'm happy to be here.
Welcome, Courtney. I know, I feel like we haven't checked in since Gore Girl Summer. It was time. Your podcast has taken off since we last chatted with you.
Well, I could really butter your guys' biscuits right up because you guys are the best coaches and you have lifted me up. It's been a year since we started and all thanks to you guys. So hats off.
It's definitely not all thanks to us.
Not all thanks to us.
I mean, for us, it has been an absolute pleasure to work with you on this project and to see where you're taking it is just incredible. You've had some huge guests. Everybody from luminaries within the coverage nation, like Dave Neal, to ring winners who have been treated like complete shit by the producers, like Tino Franco. You had Braden on. You had Chad Johnson on, which, look, feel how you want about Chad Johnson. That interview was fucking incredible, in my opinion.
Thank you. You know what? I do like bringing the old contestants back. Just like, hey, catch up. Where are you? Because longtime fans need to know. It's like when they do those celebrities, like, where are they now? I just had Drew Kenny on and, you know, I'm still kicking myself. He just did Oppenheimer. And I'm like, I should have asked him how it was, you know, filming with Christopher Nolan.
Right.
So I'm learning as I go, but like Tino Franco.
Yeah. You get him back on.
Yeah. I was like going to call him, like phone a friend. I'm like, my husband's like, did you ask him? I was like, damn it. So learning as I go, but like Tino Franco, for example, like the thing I'm loving about it is having these newer contestants come off that like they're, I remember where they're like, when you come off the show, you don't really know what to do. He's just finally off contract. And we had like a very similar experience where we were picked and our leads, you know, really kind of drove the show. Like we both felt like we were kind of treated like second class citizens. So, and there was cheating scandals. So it's been really fun. I've got some great guests coming up, but yeah, it's just, it's going to be great. I've got Sarah Herron's episode coming out this week, you know, covering topics of motherhood and infertility. And it's just been a blast, you guys.
And her wedding.
And her wedding in the Grand Canyon. She just started another round of IVF. So yeah, it's just been a blast. I've got the Bella twins coming up.
Got some hot irons
in the pan.
Huge.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's not all Bachelor, but I do really enjoy the Bachelor contestants.
Well, I mean, the Bella twins were on The Bachelor.
That's right.
They hosted a group date, I believe, that was a pro wrestling group date in season. It was recent. It was in one of the bubble seasons, wasn't
it? Look
at
how he has this like wealth of knowledge. Yeah. Just like you pull from it, Chad. Your brain
I
is...
Oh, you poor thing.
What? Poor thing. I've chosen this. Or maybe it chose me. I don't know.
I'm just saying it to myself also.
it's where I am now. So you've been doing this podcast, like you said, for almost a year. Let me ask you this. As somebody who also does a podcast or two, what is the biggest thing you've learned? And what is your favorite thing about doing a podcast?
Ooh, great questions. Well, obviously the technical side I kind of geeked out on, but that has been a big learning curve for me. But like now I've started editing my own episodes and through that I've learned hearing myself back like, okay, I say a lot or, you know, holding back and not interrupting my guests. I've noticed it's translated into my day-to-day life and how I'm interacting with people. Like
wait,
in my mind, I'm
like, you edit yourself while you're talking?
I kind of have been like, I'm like, oh my gosh, because it's like different to be on this side, but I'm like, wow, I really need to focus on listening more. That's something I've learned about myself and like not thinking about the next thing I'm going to say and really, you know, so that was something I've learned. Do you guys feel that way at all? Like when you're just in your day-to-day life?
100%. Yes. When we first started doing Game of Roses, I edited the first, I don't know how many episodes, hundreds.
All the ones with music in the background.
Yeah, all the ones with wall-to-wall music, my wall of sound technique. The exact same thing happened to me when I first started editing our podcast. I really recognized what I was doing in my speech patterns and what was bad for podcasting. And then it started, like, I stopped doing that in the podcast to some degree. I started, like, censoring how I spoke. And it carried over into my real life as well. 100%. I feel like sometimes if I'm talking to somebody, I'll go into like podcast voice. So you know what I mean? Like into that mode, like, nice to meet you. What do you do for a living? That sounds incredible. Not really like that, but you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Having that curiosity and asking, you get used to asking those follow-up questions. I edited maybe one of our episodes, but I've edited my other podcast a lot. And my thing I have to keep cutting out is I go, you know. And I'm like, I didn't even know I said that at all.
Well, my dad listens and he told me, my dad's like, you know, tough love. He's like, Courtney, you say, you know, a lot. You need to work on that. Like, I'm like, he's like probably the first person to listen each week, but that's, you know, look, I just did it.
I haven't fully edited it out of my speech patterns yet. What would you say is your favorite thing about podcasting?
You know, I think honestly, it's like I'm a one man band. So like I'll DM when the kids are napping, and I've really connected with some incredible people. You know, I've got Justin Long and his brother, Christian Long, who are massive Bachelor fans. We've been messaging. They're going to come on once the new season starts airing. And, you know, just, you know, I've been messaging with Rachel Levis from Vanderpump Rules. And she actually reached out to me and was like, I love your podcast. And
that's great.
Whoa.
Yeah. And she's listened to like all the episodes. And, you know, she's like, spoiler alert, she's getting ready to do her own. But having been in the reality TV space and then like talking to other people on other networks as well has been, I feel like I'm making friends. I did come here to make friends. So that's, you know, that's been really cool to connect with people of all walks of life. Like I said, actors, fans of the show, and then, you know, Love is Blind. I've got somebody coming on from Queer Ultimatum. So that's been a lot of fun for me, is just connecting with new people and hearing their sides of the story.
Does it make you think of your experience differently because of that? Your experience on the show?
It doesn't change the way I think of my experience on the show, really, because it is what it is. The paint's dry. But I can really put myself in, like for example, Tino, like his shoes. Mm. And like, he's just this like young baby coming off the show. And he just hearing the way he's like, it takes me back to how I felt back then, for sure. You know, he's going through all the things that I went through. And that's just one example, but it's been a blast, you guys. I love it. I see why you do this, and Chad, why you have three.
I think that's more about compulsion than it is about having fun. But
you know, one person's compulsion is another person's fun.
I can't help it. I just have to do this. But who is there? Somebody that you haven't talked to yet that would be like your dream guest? Somebody you really do want to talk to?
I would love to talk to Caitlin Bristow, and we've messaged. I really am a hopeless romantic, and I love relationships. And like, you know, I know you guys are both in relationships, but I really want to tap into that. I have a dating expert coming on soon.
Oh, cool.
And finding love. And that's why I went on The Bachelor. But I want to talk to her post-breakup and, you know, pick her brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had Sean Booth.
Yeah, Sean Booth. Yeah. Oh, I should have asked him if he was seeing somebody. And then a week later, he's like, I'm having a baby. I'm like, I screwed the pooch on that. But obviously, I'd really love to have David Spade on. I've asked him multiple times. We have a friendship. We go way back. We're both from Arizona. He's not watching the show anymore, though. He's doing Fly on the Wall. So at some point, he said he will come on. But I think that would be a fun...
He doesn't have to watch. He can just talk about his celebrity guest hosting.
Plus, exactly. I mean, even beyond that, though, that guy has had like such a fascinating career from starting out doing stand-up to Saturday Night Live to all the movies that he did. And now he's kind of perpetually in the Adam Sandler friend group that's like always in his movies whenever he's shooting a movie. But speaking of Sean Booth, let me ask you a question about Nick Viall. You have, at the end of some of your episodes, you were doing a thing where you were calling him just to see if he'd answer. Because he said he was going to come on your podcast, and then he completely flaked on you, right? And you're trying to track him down.
Yeah, wait, what do you call your flakers?
I call him a weasel, but he's a frosted flake.
A frosted flake,
sure.
There we go.
Viall the weasel, Viall the frosted flake. All right, so you got his voicemail every time. You never got him. What would you say to Nick Viall right now? Assume he's listening to this.
Get your ass in the hot seat. You know, he's got to be vulnerable. I think that there's a control issue. And
oh,
I think
you think?
That, yeah. And by the way, I got his real number. I was calling his old number.
Oh, I see.
Let's call him right now. Where's my phone? But I was DMing him on Instagram.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I saw it shows if it's seen.
Yeah.
And like he was responding when I was like, let's promote your book. But I do think that there's a control issue there.
100%.
And I think that he needs to be vulnerable. Like I want to ask him everything, you know, all the things.
Would you go on his?
Absolutely. So that was the thing. He asked me to come on his, but he only does in person. And, you know, my husband's like, Courtney, we'll fly you out there. It was the day after the Super Bowl. I'm like, the airport's going to be crazy. I'm not going to just drop everything. Mm-hmm. I don't live in LA, but I would love to come on his. You know, I could see him being maybe a little bit of a bully to me,
yes.
But That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think you'd be able to handle him personally.
Oh, yeah. I've met him before, so.
Oh, okay. We met him once, Pace Case and I, for a brief, beautiful moment in a bar in Hollywood. But that being said, let's move on. Let's talk about some Bachelor-related questions now. Everything is popping off within the nation right now. As we record this on Monday, September 25th, the end of this week is going to mark the premiere of Golden Bachelor and the premiere of BIP Season 9 simultaneously this Thursday night. Are you planning to watch Golden Bachelor? And what do you think the show is going to change in the culture and the fandom of Bachelor?
Oh, I'm here for it. Drink every time they say pickleball. I mean.
Yeah, we should come up with some pickle-themed drinks. Pickleback. Yeah.
This is how you get alcohol poisoning, wind up in the hospital.
Right. The prickly pear or something kind of Southwestern, for sure. I'm going to be watching. It's very similar to my dad's story. My mom passed away 4 years ago, and my dad had a hard time dating right after. And so I just feel like it's very wholesome. Like, you can't talk shit about the Golden Bachelor. You know, some people will, I'm sure. I'll be watching. It's such a variety. Oh yeah, some people will. The variety of women, the way they're promoting this, by the way, top tier. Do you guys remember my Bachelor promo picture? Horrible.
What was
blue
it?
Backdrop, like blue. Remember the blue backdrops? I look like a glamour shot.
Yeah.
And now these women are, they're so elevated. I think they're listening to your podcast because I really think they're taking notes as far as elevating the marketing.
They 100% are listening to our podcast. I can't tell you how I can confirm that. I can only tell you that I can confirm that. Everybody from the top to the bottom.
Well, I wanted to reach out to producers to see if they'd get you on a Hooju date, which I think is brilliant. I still might.
You know, I think as much as they listen to our show, they will never acknowledge it.
Well, there was a DLP sign in the document.
That's true.
But there was no formal acknowledgement.
That's not acknowledgement?
No. That's like to us and to that DLP sign in that tell-all episode was for us. And by us, I mean everybody in the pit. And that's it. They're not coming out and saying, watch Game of Roses, or even saying what that means. It's a, if you know, you know kind of thing.
Which is great. And I'm curious to see what you guys think. I mean, as far as the show goes, I mean, they're obviously going to have a Golden Bachelorette. We're going to fall in love with somebody. I have a friend who has made it to the third round of his season. Friend of a friend. So I can't wait. Could be a shoe-in.
Oh, interesting. No spoilers.
Yeah.
But like, I'm curious to know, and maybe Bachelor data could tell us, like, what the viewership is. Like, is it younger? Is it older? I mean, I have to think that this season is going to soar.
Yes, because it is still on network TV, which is a predominantly older generation. It's mainly baby boomers that still have network TV. And I think they're all going to love this. I mean, but I'll say this too. Many of my friends obviously know that Bachelor is a big part of my life and that I do these podcasts and stuff about it. And they don't watch. They dismiss it as just kind of frivolous, stupid reality TV.
They don't respect you.
No, they don't at all. Nor do they care. And that's fine. Like, I don't give a shit either. They watch football or whatever they watch. I watch Bachelor. But all these friends who kind of dismiss this have DM'd me over the course of the last, whatever, 2 or 3 weeks. Like, oh my God, have you seen this Golden Bachelor thing? And I'm just like, yeah, I've seen it, dude. What are you talking about? Of course. But they all are like, I don't know if it's because of the marketing or the premise or what, but Golden Bachelor is like penetrating people's bubbles that don't normally watch the show, at least in my kind of circle of friends. Everyone is aware of it.
Same with me.
Yeah.
I've gotten so many texts from people who have never watched the regular show who are like, again, have you heard of Golden Bachelor? And I'm like, what? What do you think I'm doing?
Who hasn't? And they were promoting that for so long. Yeah. I listened to him on Groceries podcast, and he applied when they first announced it, which I thought was cool. And then COVID hit.
Yeah.
By the way, his celebrity crush was a little confusing.
Who was it?
Do you guys know who it was? Penelope Cruz and Sandra Bullock.
Okay.
Okay. So he likes brunettes.
But then you see the cast. I don't know if you guys heard that. But yeah, he said he thought Sandra Bullock was age appropriate. And then Penelope Cruz was his celeb crush.
Oh, in terms of the age. Well, we were surprised by the ages of the player pool. We were thinking, I thought there would be somebody in their like late 30s, early 40s. But they're not going below 60s.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, I can imagine. I thought they would do that as well. I thought specifically they'd do it. But like you're saying, this is more of a prestige thing, it feels like. They really are treating them well. The marketing is really good. Like you're saying, the player photos.
But what about the drama? There's got to be drama. The claws have got to come out a little bit. Like, that's what I worry about. Is there going to be drama? You know, there's going to be a lot of sad stories, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. But we all want that villain. And I can't wait to interview the villain that comes off the season.
Who is that going
to
be, though? And how?
I think it's going to be April.
Right. I think it might be Matt James's mom because she knows how it works. You know, she's... Yeah.
So she'll be a villain.
I don't know if they would do that to Matt.
I don't think they can do it to any of these players.
Chad, there's going to be a villain. Villains are going to vill.
I know, but like villainy in reality TV to me, and I could be wrong about this, villainy seems like a younger person's strategy, you know, a kind of attitude that's like, fuck this. I don't need this shit. I'm not, as your book is titled, I didn't come here to make friends.
Right.
As your book is titled, fuck this.
Yeah. Fuck this. I didn't come here to make friends. No, I'm just saying, like, that doesn't, it doesn't seem to me like somebody who has had a bunch of life experience. And in most cases, these women have all been married. They have kids. It's just like, aren't they kind of over it? I feel like that it's going to be hard for them to drum up believable villainy because it's like they've seen too much or something. You know what I mean?
Hey, put 30 women in a house. Maybe some of them are menopausal and their cameras are on. They've never been put in this situation.
They've timed it to only be menopausal.
I mean, there's going to be one man, you know, they're all going for the title.
Yeah.
You only get one shot at the title and you're the production side of it. Like, it's now your time to steal him and all of this. And by the way, the late night filming, I mean, they probably go to bed early. God. That's a whole other element. I mean,
they better let him nap.
Yeah. These are just all things I'm thinking of, you know, that can make a person act a little out of character.
Yeah. I think you're right. You know what? You've changed my mind. I think there will be a villain because what you're saying is true about, like, they don't, to my knowledge, and my knowledge is not complete on this, but I have received some. They do make them sleep in bunk beds. They do keep them up until fucking midnight or noon the next day after night one.
No.
Yes. And
really?
Yeah. And there's a physical component to this game that I think a lot of people aren't aware of that has to do with how much sleep you're getting and what kind of food you're eating and just the physical stamina required to even go through this, let alone if they have them doing like forced violence group dates. I don't think they're going to be playing tackle football, but maybe. Who knows?
Do you think there will be more self-eliminations?
No.
I think that they're, I wonder if they're going to do skin play, like if they'll do like swimsuits. Like, you know, when they cancel, it's every season, they cancel the date or whatever, the cocktail party, and they just do a pool party.
Yes. I think for sure they're going to have that.
A lot of sarongs.
They're absolutely going to have a villain, but I think it'll, my prediction is it'll be more in the style of like Real Housewives. And it'll be April. Just from her Instagram.
April? Really? Is she the one that wrote the book? Is she the one that had the... Do you guys know the one that wrote the... One wrote a book. And oh my gosh, I wish I had my notes handy. Yeah, she's got a history for sure.
I think I remember that when we were going through their Instagrams. I'm not sure if it was April or not. But you've seen Bachelor Nation from the inside.
Oh yeah.
You're now talking to people. You're still an active member in it. Where do you think the nation is currently? Where do you think the show is currently? Good place, bad place, medium place with all these new shows, with Bachelor in Paradise and Golden Bachelor coming out?
I just think that there's so many shows coming out that are so good that it's you know, on Netflix, Love is Blind.
Are you watching it?
I'm going to binge watch it today.
Okay.
Are they all out?
First four episodes.
Oh, I'm watching all of them after we hang up. But no, I think it's fine. I think that Bachelor Nation it runs deep. A lot of people, like you saying, your friends reaching out to you, a lot of friends that I've watched years on years with aren't watching anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's like the social media part, the influencing part. And, but I know internally, just through my friends and network, that there's been a lot of changes going on. Yeah. Hell, I just sent somebody, I had two girls reach out to me to go on Joey season. And I used to send them right to casting and they would usually interview them right away. And the casting lady that casted me was like, I'm no longer there. None of my friends are there. Like, just that's just casting.
Yeah.
They have a whole new team. She said, Courtney, so much has changed. So I, and then, you know, Mike Fleiss, mm-hmm. you know, out the door. Well, I think that's affecting it.
They did kind of a house cleaning when Fleiss got ousted. They did some, what do you want to call it? Like an internal investigation to find who was loyal to him. And they tried to get rid of as many of those people as possible. So it was a lot of like really old school people who had been there from the beginning. They got rid of them totally. I think at least if we are to look at Charity season and take that as any indication of where the franchise is headed, I do feel like it was a better season than we've seen in the past 3 or 4 years.
I completely agree. And they have, you know, I was on the lotto date. I mean, the changes that I saw from when I was on group dates, they have social media. They have like people doing social media behind the scenes and doing TikToks and all this stuff. So I do think that they're taking notes from you and that they are going to elevate.
Oh, 100%.
That they need to, because they're kind of getting left behind on that. Mm-hmm. So I'll be curious to see how it goes. I saw Gary Turner has an Instagram. I followed him today, but I don't think it's going anywhere. I don't think that they'll ever go away completely, but I do think that there are some growing pains, and I've heard that the budget is way down, which is shocking to me because I've traveled with ABC and they are not cheap.
But it's like just television is a different era. Budgets for everything are down 100%. Because the corporations that create all this content, that own it all, are always looking for ways to pinch money out of the people who make it. Always. That has been that way since the dawn of time. And they just got really good at it over the past 10 years or so. I don't know how it happened this way. And definitely ratings are dwindling and stuff on network TV. That said, they're still able to charge premium ad rates for all the stuff that they're putting in the shows, as long as you maintain that top spot, which Bachelor does pretty much every Monday night. But you mentioned Love is Blind and these other shows coming out. I have watched the first 4 episodes of this season. And I guess I won't mention what this is. It's kind of a spoiler, but like the producers do something this season that is, it completely undermines the premise of the show. And coming off of season 4, which I thought was fantastic, other than the live finale debacle, this season 5 seems to be a movement into an experimental era where they are really pushing shit and like, it almost seems like they think the audience is stupid in a similar way that Bachelor does, where it's like, oh, Sally's suitcase must have been real. You know, it's that level of just kind of like, kind of campy. On, you know, it's not even campy. It's just like, it's unbelievable that what you're watching is even happening in terms of like people's reactions to this thing. At any rate, that said, you know, you mentioned like your bad rookie photos or whatever back in season 16. Have you seen how Love is Blind does their cast reveals on Instagram?
Mm-mm.
It's beautiful. It's like highly graphically integrated little titles, and everybody is tagged in their photos on the official Love is Blind Instagram account. The photos that they put out look like baseball cards almost. It's so well done, and it doesn't take that much effort, but Bachelor still doesn't do that. Their cast reveal was just like some pictures off these people's Instagrams put in a big grid on Facebook.
No, I think that they need to get with the times, honestly. They really do.
Yeah. How do you think, you know, other than whatever is going to happen in this Love is Blind season, I'm nervous, but I do think that we all love that show. And so does the nation. How do you think Bachelor can step it up to compete? How do you think it can go back to being as culturally relevant?
You know, I think that everything is like social media needs to be better, obviously, like what you were just saying, Chad. I think that they need to start promoting their contestants on Instagram for sure. And I mean, that's a really tough question, Lizzie. I mean, I don't know if they really can. It's not apples to apples, really, because it's like, I do think that streaming is changing things for sure. And that's like goes back to the writer's strike. I do think that they should probably get a Tyler Cameron. I guess they can't afford him, but
sorry, you want Tyler Cameron as the Bachelor, not the host, to be clear.
I saw that he wants to be the host.
That's the only way he'll do it. He'll be the Bachelor if he can also be the host of the Bachelor.
I think they need to switch it up a little bit. You know, I really do. And like, you know, I think Joey's going to be great.
Pay Tyler Cameron.
Pay Tyler Cameron. Hashtag pay Tyler Cameron. $1 million.
I mean, they are doing something with Golden Bachelor. At least this is what it looks like to me from the promos. I believe they were still shooting the show on Digibeta tapes, which is a technology that was like cutting edge in maybe 1998.
Really?
I think they were still shooting the entire show on that up to this point. Golden Bachelor, I think they have switched over. It has a much more contemporary look to me. I think they're going to try some things to kind of mimic Love is Blind a little bit to make it look more contemporary. But the thing where they're never going to be able to compete with Love is Blind is the conversations. When people are talking about, like on Love is Blind, like abortion and things that actually are conversations you have in an actual relationship, that never exists in Bachelor. And because it doesn't, I think all the relationships, at least as they're presented in Bachelor, take on this kind of a level of falseness. Like, this is only for the cameras. That exists in The Bachelor. And I don't know how you really compete with shows that can get around that. But
well, there's a format. I mean, and what jogged my memory is on my first one-on-one with Ben, they pulled me aside and they're like, you really need to open up. We need your vulnerable story right now. Basically telling me he's probably going to let you go. Like, there's like a structure, right, to the show. It's like, this is the beat of the show. And the producers are really good at doing that. And you see it when you watch the show. You're like, okay, I know this week is going to, you know, I need to open up, or I need to tell him I love him. And maybe they need to shift that narrative. But it is, I would say, a PG-13 show, whereas these Netflix shows are able to bridge, you know, talk about those big topics.
Yeah, and have cussing and nudity and all that.
I mean, I had nudity on my season.
Yeah.
Better skin play.
The promos for this Love is Blind, there's like fully a couple in a shower that you can see through the glass door, basically having sex.
People love that.
Listening.
But like, they do the vulnerable stories, right? Like Kaylin Miller Keys are like saying, like, you know, like stories like that where they, what do you guys call that? The
PTC. Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered shower head purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the Skin Safe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you. Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got
ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of Me Undies. And now I want to replace the whole drawer with Me Undies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my, which is not what this ad is about, but I am also wearing the super soft, sustainable modal fabric thong with no rollback waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pace Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Jinx.
I'm not ready for the Golden Bachelor PTCs. I've already cried watching the promos. I'm like, hey,
look, crying thinking about it.
I gotta tell you, I don't care what they're saying on Golden Bachelor. They ain't got nothing on Love is Blind season 5. I have never seen a season of PTCs like this. Every PTC, you're just like, it's like a 10-part PTC, each part more tragic than the last. I've never seen anything like it. They cast people on this season specifically for their PTCs, and then this one other thing that they did, which is like undermines the entire show, in my opinion. But even despite the undermining, this season is it's fucking incredible. Their casting department, whoever's casting Love is Blind, those mm-hmm. people need a raise immediately because they put together a collection of people that is like this. It's like a jigsaw puzzle, but all the pieces fit together, no matter which way you arrange them.
Like the Queer Ultimatum.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, you guys, I'm obsessed with Queer Ultimatum.
It was great.
So good. It was so Such good. Great casting. So maybe they need to get them casting The Bachelor.
It might be the same people who do the Chris Colan shows, who do, you know, all those Ultimatum, Love is Blind, Perfect Match. But I agree. Although, I don't know, this Golden Bachelor season seems to be cast very well to me.
Mm. I don't know. It's kind of a mixed bag. I was a little surprised, especially if his celeb crush is Penelope Cruz.
I love that you're stuck on Penelope Cruz.
Wait, how old is Penelope Cruz?
I mean, I think it's just like a physical type. I think that's like a pretty big tell that like that's his physical type.
Oh, interesting.
How old is Sandra Bullock? Because he thought she was age appropriate.
Penelope Cruz is 49.
Hard to picture she's 72.
Sandra Bullock is 59.
See, he thought she was age appropriate. So right there, he said he would 60. Like to go to lunch with her and that he feels like the quality of conversation would be what he's looking for.
With Penelope Cruz?
With Sandra Bullock.
Okay, Sandra Bullock. He's like, Sandy, I loved you in that movie, The Net, that came out in 1993. It was about the internet. That's what got me to get my first internet connection. Seeing you buy a pizza online. All right. Have you seen the promos for Paradise?
Oh, yeah. I've watched them 5 times over. Slow-mo, all the things.
Were you slow-moing the turtle coming out of the shell to mimic
which part were you slow-moing?
I wanted to see who got hit by the wave. I just threw up. I got to get Ashley back on to talk about that.
I mean, for sure.
Yes.
I just don't know what they're doing with Paradise right now based on these promos. I'll reserve judgment, I guess, until I watch the entire season. But they are presenting Golden Bachelor as this prestige vehicle. All of these women are elevated. They have the photo shoot that looks like the fucking Oscar spread on Vanity Fair. Then immediately after that, you get 1 hour of that rammed right into a woman who can't take a shit and they're making it look like a turtle. And it's just like, what are they doing on Paradise? I feel like any goodwill that they're going to get from Golden Bachelor is going to be immediately washed away with the waves as soon as Paradise starts airing. And I don't understand it. What is your take on this?
It's a lot for Thursday night. I think the switching from Monday to Thursday is going to be, growing pains for a lot of people. you know, I think after coming after the weekend, you love your Monday show. You look forward to it. You get your wine, you know, it's an extended version of the weekend, but I think it's going to do well, Chad. I don't know. You might disagree with me. I think that the older crowd that's going to be tuning into the Golden Bachelor, they're not going to watch Paradise.
I agree.
I really don't think so. I think this is for the diehard fans. You know, there's been an off season for quite a while now, and I think people are going to eat it up. I do. I mean, I could be wrong.
Interesting. I think Paradise is not going to do well.
They do have a lot of people from recent casts. I think Braden Bowers is going to dominate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They got another lead, Rachel Recchia, mm-hmm. which I think, you know, and she's been promoting the hell out of it. But I just think that later time slot's going to be hard.
I can't wait. And I think, I don't necessarily think that the promo will indicate that it's a bad show. But it does lend itself to, what are these choices? It's not even just the poop thing. It's like, oh, look how funny that all these girls or this couple making out get splashed by a wave. And you see that over and over again. And it's like, this is very slapstick. It's like 1950s comedy, it feels like to me. I'm like, what? Is this all you have?
I know.
Why? Water splashing?
It's even beyond it being like a bygone kind of tone in terms of comedy. It reveals to me that Paradise is still all about the producers making people's lives miserable. Mm-hmm. And that is never what we want in any of these shows. I don't understand why they don't get that. And I know Paradise is like supposed to be a little cheekier or whatever, but they have taken that idea that it's not as prestigious, that the tone can be relaxed. They have taken that and somehow morphed it into, we're going to make fake suitcases full of vibrators for people. We're going to have Ashley Iaconetti pissing in the sand. We're going to have a whole segment about this woman who has constipation. Like, that's, none of that is fun or funny or good in any way. And if you're looking for a show to bring back these people who have stopped watching your fucking product because it got so bad during the bubble seasons, you have Golden Bachelor. This is a reset. Come back. Watch what we can offer now. And then you just fucking demolish it with a turtle poking its head out of a shell to try and mimic a turd coming out of a butthole.
I think that, you know, and I know my friend Alon, he was on my season, and he was the one in early days of Paradise. He did all the creatures of the week that you guys love. Claire Crawley. The one that showed, I forget who it was, talking to a raccoon. That was Claire Crawley. So that was his invention. And so he's long gone from that. So I feel like they're trying to reinvent the wheel or recreate what he was doing. What they should do is get him back or get some of the, you know, if you want the format to be the same. But I think they've taken it a little too far. A little desperate.
But it's still like, I agree. And the whole idea of like Paradise, it's called Bachelor in Paradise. The word itself means this is Shangri-La. Everything you want here. It's great here. You want to be here. It's fun. Yet the exact opposite has become true. They now present it as, we're going to torture these fucking people for 2 weeks. Ha, 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 ha. No one likes that. Except them. Except the producers. They enjoy doing it is what it seems like. I don't know. I just see that the promos for it, and I'm just like, they have to start offering players dignity in Paradise. They have to. Otherwise, why are we watching? And they didn't learn their lesson from last season when they had Rodney Matthews leaving sand and literally everybody had a group nervous breakdown. Like, we don't want that shit. And the ratings fucking tanked and the ripping off caused some more. I saw this season they're going to put a truth box into this season. That's going to be their experimental mechanic. I don't know exactly what it is, but I assume it's going to be write on a piece of paper some bad shit that you feel about somebody or whatever, and they'll make everybody read it. And it's just like, that's not what this is. You still want people coming out of this married. You still want people coming out of this saying, this was a good experience overall. And I just don't think you're getting it at this point.
Speaking of Elon Gale, are you going to be watching? I know he produced the new FY Island.
Yeah, F-Girl Island. Yes, we've been in cahoots. I was trying to get him on the podcast. F Girl Island with Katie Thurston.
Well, that's F Boy.
Oh, I thought she was on F Girl Island. He has a new one.
Oh, where it's going to be women or the players?
Oh, sorry. So Katie's on F Boy Island. You're right. And then there is a new one F Girl Island. Yeah. So for sure, I've been talks with him. He's going to get me some contestants to interview. He put me on the preferred vendor list. So, you know, a lot of, so I'm going to be watching. And then The Goat, he did that as well. Grocery Store Joe was on that. So we talked to him about that. He's just on fire. He's just doing all the shows. I'm proud of him. But yeah, I'll be watching. I'll be interviewing them. I can't wait to see what happens with Katie Thurston, man. She's got some gumption. She just takes a hit and keeps on going.
She is, I think, at least in the modern era, she's one of the players who understands how to use this better than almost anybody else to stay relevant constantly. She's now the lead of another show. No. Like, have we seen that before? We've seen leads
becoming a stand-up, which we've never seen anyone do.
She must be out of contract, by the way, because there's no way that they would do another network. Like, that's like a big no-no.
Oh, for sure. But that is something, too, that the Bachelor producers or ABC, whoever's in control of that, I would argue that's probably going to be NZK and Warner Brothers. It's just a bad move. You want all your players to come out of your show and then maintain fame and become more famous.
Like Becca Kufrin. Sometimes I call people by their Instagram names. That's horrible. Deanie Babies got married this weekend. Like their Instagram handles. Yeah. But like she just had a baby. She was the host of, you know, Bachelor Happy Hour forever. That's a perfect example.
They seem to have no problem burning bridges with the players who built the modern game. And I just will never understand that. Rachel Lindsay is probably the best example of this. Just she gave them so many chances to do right by her, and they never, ever did. It's unbelievable.
Well, look at Chris Harrison. I mean, I hate to say it. That was a totally different situation. But, you know, he told me when I did his podcast that he quit, that it was his decision.
Sure it was. There's no way that is true. There's absolutely no way that is true because he was so pissed about it. As soon as it happened, he was like, these guys. And even now, if you listen to his podcast with any regularity, he's comparing himself to other people who have been, like, in his mind, maligned. He absolutely did not quit. You're telling me he was like, listen, guys, I've had a good run, but I need to go my separate ways. And they're like, okay, we'll pay you $9 million to never say anything about where the bodies are buried. He absolutely was 100% fired. Whatever he says to the contrary is a straight lie. I mean, that's as simple as it is.
You think? He said that if Mike Fleiss, now that he was gone, that he would consider being the host again.
Oh, well, what would have to happen for that is ABC would have to consider him ever working on their network again, which ain't gonna happen. There's no fucking way. He is, I think he is poison to network television. Mm-hmm. I don't think any network hires him. You might get him on a streamer in 5 years or something if he wants to come back. He will have lost relevance at that point. His best course of action, I believe, is Texas state politics, and I still think he's going to do that at some point.
Do you think he got Billy Bushed? Remember Billy Bush? Yeah.
Well, Billy Bush came back, though. He was obviously the one who famously was in the Trump clip, the bad Trump clip. But they gave him shots after that. Billy Bush did come back. But I think Chris Harrison is different. Billy Bush was like, he was there saying bad shit, but he wasn't the target of that clip. That was Trump. With Harrison, he's the target of the clip. He's the only one saying anything in that Rachel Lindsay interview. Like, there's nobody else to blame it on. I just don't ever see him coming back to network TV because network TV, A, probably won't even be around in 5 years, but B, all they do in network TV is try to limit liability. And he's a giant liability.
We'll see. I feel like everyone who gets canceled, almost everyone except the very top offenders, end up having a comeback. So
yeah. And he has the number one podcast on across all podcasts, right?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
No, not anymore. He has slipped. But when he first came out, that his podcast was huge. Speaking of huge podcasts and maligned characters within the nation, what do you think of Wells Adams?
Man, what a good character. Yeah, I think that he's done well for himself. He married a celebrity.
Yeah.
He is a staple on Bachelor in Paradise. I think people probably tune in to see him.
Really?
On BIP?
I do.
You think there are Wells Adams, like just straight fans who will watch anything Wells Adams does? They watch his pizza show?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I like him. I've never talked to him. I've never met him. Yeah. I do think it'd be good to mix up. Hell, I would love to go down there and stir the pot a little bit and make some cocktails.
Courtney as bartender?
Heck yeah. Or I could be a barista. I don't care.
That would be incredible.
You know, I would love to like yes. get in there and like stir the pot a little bit. You know what I mean? Like be the guy at the bar, but being like, no, you know, like let's light it up. So anyway, but I think he's all right. I mean, I think people like get attached to the host. That's why I think when Chris left, you know, the ratings probably went down a little bit. People Certainly. Get used to, they don't like change. That's famous. Absolutely. People do not like change. But yeah, I think he's a good one, but I do think that they could bring in more past guests. It looks like Katie Thurston's coming down.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of Wells? I'd be curious because I see like your face, Chad.
Look at you, Courtney. Professional podcaster now.
What do you think?
I forgot what I was dealing with here. You're an expert at reading body language and being able to tell what's going on.
I see you shrinking in your chair over there.
Okay. This is my take on Wells. I don't know the guy at all. I've never met him. I know literally only what I have seen on the show and some of his podcast appearances and things like this. And I've probably listened to more of his podcast appearances than most people have. It seems to me recently, too, this has happened within the last maybe 6 months. He has started to kind of assert himself in this role of creative power in the franchise. Mm-hmm. All of his podcasts that he goes on, he talks about like, we made this decision to do, and then they, you know, we made this decision and we made this decision. He's putting himself in line with the producers. Does he have that amount of control? I don't think so. I think he's trying to like pump himself up or something. And he also seems to be very fixated on the toilet humor and the punishing of players as being a good thing.
Yeah. He was upset that they cut it, that they put the constipation thing in the promo because it was a spoiler. For such a good moment.
Yeah. Oh, really? I don't think he's that hands-on. I think he's like Chris Harrison when he was hosting. They bring him in for the roast ceremony. That's it. They bring him in at the night portion of when the drama's going down. He's not around all the time. Most of the time, he's probably sitting in his hotel room getting room service. Let's be honest, is my hot take.
That's what I think
He's not around all day. Yeah, he's getting treated like a host, like Jesse Palmer. And I think that in that, maybe it's gone to his head a little bit. And that's why he's like, we. And that's actually smart publicity, you know, to position yourself like that.
But was it not?
I think that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I think if anything, I don't know him at all either. But I would think it would be the Sarah Hyland marriage that would bring the big change. You know, the financial stability, the going to the A-list parties, like I would not think it's the bartender role.
Speaking of how he's promoting the show and publicity, he did go on a podcast this past week and say something to the effect, don't quote me, this is not verbatim, but it is basically verbatim. He said, I just like to sit back and watch the dumpster fire burn, referring to Paradise as a dumpster fire burning that he was watching for entertainment. That is somebody I think you don't want promoting your show, honestly. I don't think you ever want anyone calling your show a dumpster fire.
My jaw just dropped because, you know, I've been having on contract guests and with those, I have Warner on the line. And for the most part, they haven't made me take out a lot. Yeah. But there was something that was said similar to what you just said, dumpster fire, that they made me take out.
Interesting.
So exactly. Hmm. I'm sure you got a slap on the wrist for that. Hmm. You know, that's not a good look, like you said, to promote the show. And fun fact about Wells, I just listened to Chris Harrison had Tyler Florence on. He's randomly doing a podcast with Wells Adams. Did you know that?
Tyler Florence.
He's a celebrity chef. And I know Tyler because I dated his brother-in-law for a couple years. Mm. You know, the celebrity food truck race.
Yeah.
So Tyler is doing a podcast with Wells.
Interesting.
I just thought it was kind of random, but he was talking, hyping him up and what a great guy he is. And, you know, he's kind of more into the food space. It seems like he's throwing himself into that
pizza. More in the pizza space.
So interesting. Little fun fact.
Well, Courtney, we've had a blast talking to you. We have one thing that we do on what is now going to be our Tuesday shows. We used to be our Twibbon. Now our Twibbon's on Tuesday. We do Screams from the Pit, where we descend deep into the bottom of the pit. And we talk about potentially unhealthy ways that this show, our fandom, has taken over our lives, or at least humorous ways. So if you would indulge us, please scream away.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Okay, from the bottom of the pit, I've got 2 screams. Can I do 2?
Absolutely. You can do as many as
you
need.
I'll be quick.
Get it off your chest.
well, this week marked the 1-year anniversary of my podcast, and I just am shocked. Thank you. And I'm, you know, I thought I was out of this world, and I am deep in it. I'm following the Clayton drama, the, you know, Michael story, everything. I'm thrusted back into this world.
Crazy drama this week.
I mean, and I'm just eating it up. I'm lapping it up. So it's just crazy. A year ago, I was kind of out of the world of The Bachelor. I mean, I still watch, like, you know, like anybody else, but I am completely back in it. So that's kind of was shocking to me. I thought about how far I've come and here I am interviewing Braden Bowers, you know, this ultimate villain. And Lizzie, I stole your look, the scarf. I had to. It was so brilliant. Coming up with the content. And then my other scream, what was it? Oh, my dad was recently traveling through the Burbank airport and he called me and he's like, guess what? I just saw The Golden Bachelor. Oh, wow. And I'm like, I was his first call. And I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, he's really tall. I noticed his hearing aids right away. And I was like, what? I mean, my dad's here. He's flying out of the Burbank airport and he runs into The Golden Bachelor. I go, why didn't you go take a selfie and tell him that I was your daughter? I could have offered advice. So that's my kind of funny scream.
Congrats to your dad.
So you've drug your dad back in too.
Oh, he's
he never left.
Sure.
Maybe it was the other way around.
He never left. Yeah.
Well, he was like, shit, should I have signed up for The Golden Bachelor? Because I had teased him about it when it was coming out. Obviously he's remarried, sure. But he's like, I could have done that. I would have been great for that role. Yeah.
That would have been a great hometown. Jesus.
I can't wait for the hometowns, by the way.
Oh, I know.
I hope that the daughters and the siblings drill them.
Yes, I totally agree.
I want to hear your screams because I have a feeling you've got that crazy look in your eye.
I'll do mine first because Clues has scared me with the tone describing his. So I'll go first. Mine's a little mini one.
Okay.
I've talked about that I go to Minneapolis every summer where, you know, young country, Michelle Young. And I followed in her footsteps. I went to the high school where she and Joe Colvin did their like prom, fake prom date. I went to the Viking Stadium where she actually gave out a rose. She was part of some proposal with a fan at that game. And I just completed the Michelle Young Bachelorette tour with, I went to a Twins game for the first time. Baseball team, you might remember from a little one-on-one date she had with Joe Coleman at the game.
I don't remember Joe.
And now I have visited those grounds.
So you completed it.
He was third place. He had a little scandal. So I have completed the Michelle Young tour. I partied at Big Island, where she has also frequented. So I think I've done my work. There might be some other ones I need to check off next summer, but that concludes the Michelle Young tour.
That's pretty good.
And it's all I think about when I go to these places, you know?
Yeah.
Look at you go. I hope you documented.
Oh, yes. It's hallowed ground, you know, everywhere. And it's the lens I view Minnesota through.
Yeah, it would be hard for me to view it in any other way, too, I think. Congratulations on all of these screams, Courtney, Pace Case. But I have to say, I think my scream is about to dominate the screams from the pit today. As you know, Golden Bachelor is coming out this Thursday night. And this weekend, all across Los Angeles, and I believe they did this in New York too, the ABC marketing department went all out. They took over three spots here in LA, like little restaurants and diners and stuff, and they Golden Bachelorized them. I went to one of these. You can see a little video I made of my experience going to Mel's Diner on Sunset out here on our Patreon right now if you want to check that out. But it was mind-blowing. The whole place, they covered the roof of Mel's Diner in gold foil. There's gold roses everywhere. Pictures of Gary Turner and all the players literally on every inch of the wall inside Mel's Diner. Big screens promotional thing. They've got projected gold roses up on the ceiling. It's just golded out. They had a gold fucking Mustang, classic Mustang, sitting in the parking lot with a big Golden Bachelor thing, and you could take pictures. They had a photographer there, and they email you the thing, free golden milkshakes, all this shit, right? My mind was blown. It was basically when I went to Bachelor Live on stage and saw how chintzy it was and just like thrown together in last minute, this shit is the opposite. This shit is the treatment the show deserves. It was absolutely fantastic. All that said, is that where my experience ended when I got in my Uber and went back home? No, it wasn't. I went over, there was a guy, how do I even describe this? Everybody there who was working the event had on these gold or these white shirts with gold, like shiny gold lettering that said Golden Bachelor across the chest. And some people were wearing golden jackets, like satin jackets with a Golden Bachelor thing across the back and a little rose on the chest. And so I walked up to one of the guys and he was like, oh, do you want to know how to get a free golden milkshake? And he was trying to usher me over into the gold milkshake line. And I said, what I really want to know is how to get one of those jackets. And he pulled me aside and he said, I get off work at 7. And I brokered a deal with this man to get a golden jacket. And I met him in a parking lot at 8 p.m. and did what felt like an illegal drug deal to get a golden jacket. And I'm going to put it on for you now.
No.
Stop it.
Oh, my God. How much did you pay for this jacket? Oh, my God.
No way.
Oh my God.
That is incredible.
I'm so jealous.
Well, you're not going to be jealous for long because I got a line on a second jacket and I think I'm going to be able to get one today and it's yours, Pace Case.
What do you mean? Congratulations. You're in the black market for
I am now the czar of the Golden Bachelor merch.
That is incredible. Also, the fact that they're making like such a nice detailed like fashion item to promote the show.
Just
have all those people in black t-shirts working?
Let me show you some other items that I stole. I mean, procure. Oh. Hold on.
Did you just bring like a giant sack with you? What is...
Oh my gosh. I was wondering what was up on that top shelf.
The horse on the top of his shelf. We bought that at an estate sale at Bachelor Mansion, FYI.
No way. Yeah. Oh my God. That's such good tea.
This was just the napkin at Mel's Diner, right?
Oh my God. Okay.
I mean,
hungry for love.
This was a little placard they had, special golden hour specials. As you can see, I stole that. This was the placemat, which I stole.
Okay, he puts the special.
What did he say? He puts a special, an early bird.
Like an early bird special.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. like diners will have an early bird special for people who come in there and they're like, I want to eat breakfast at 5.
No, but he puts the special in
it. I'll take the tuna melt. I used to get that at Mel's. It's bomb.
These things I don't think they cared about. These are disposable things anyway, but this they probably didn't want me to take. It's a little it's a little placard that says Golden Bachelor. These are on every table. They also probably didn't give a shit. But
gorgeous.
Yeah. There you go. So that was my scream. I had a great experience.
This is the best scream you've ever had. Perhaps.
Thank you very much. I had a great experience.
Finally, your museum has items.
This jacket, I shit you not. I pulled into the parking lot and I was like, this is some shady ass shit. This man, I was like, if this goes sideways, I got to be able to get out of here. I was like checking my exits and shit.
Jesus.
But no, the guy that I met up with was very nice.
You've done sketchier things for worse.
It felt like in the early days of Pokemon Go trading.
Meeting that guy to buy that Mr. Mime.
Yeah, exactly. It felt like that to me.
Oh my, I got to bring you somewhere to like New York when I go get a Fooey, a fake Louie. It sounds like you got the line on a new jacket too. I can't wait. I hope you guys take a photo shoot together.
Hopefully I can get it done for you, Pace Case. I think I'll be able to. But that is my scream for the day. And that is all of our screams. Thank you everybody for joining us. Thank you, Courtney, for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Courtney, you're the best.
Please, it's our pleasure.
I'm so happy to see that your podcast is thriving. I never doubted that it would for a second, but like you've had former crowns, you've had ring winners, you've had everybody.
Well, I so appreciate the encouragement. You know, there's some days where I feel like I'm just an imposter here, but you guys have been excellent coaches. So
an imposter.
I'm not worthy. An imposter.
Oh, please. You're one of the greatest ring winners the game has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll take that. But I, you know, you're a great coach, Clues, because you sometimes I need to be reminded of that when I'm covered in shit and sleep, you know, sleepy. So yeah.
I'm not a good coach when it comes to parenting, but I do know a thing or two about The Bachelor. And although none of these players can hear me, good luck to all the players who are currently shooting Bachelor Season 28. If you know what I'm saying.
Grazie a te.
Your coach is proud of your work.
I am at this point. But thank you, everybody, for joining us. And before we go, as always, what is that dwab at?
It's been 7,855 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then